Let's just look for a minute or two at the scripture. You've seen in front of you this day the testimony of people who have said, I love Jesus Christ, and I love him to the point where I will follow him in the waters of baptism. And this congregation needs to be reminded that every one of us here need to be so committed to Jesus Christ. It's not sufficient to say, I will follow Jesus, but it is sufficient to say, I will follow Jesus and then to follow him. Now the Lord Jesus has said that we were to follow him in all things. Let's turn for a moment or two to the precious part of the third chapter of Matthew's Gospel. The Lord Jesus had come to Galilee, or from Galilee to Jordan. We take up the reading in verse 13. Verse 13. Then cometh Jesus, this is Matthew 3, verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade Jesus, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And very much I want to share with all of those of you who are baptized today, and those of you who have been baptized, and those of you needing to be baptized, you need to come to that place where you say, Lord Jesus, I follow you. And it will be as if the heavens are opened. And it will be as if the voice from heaven will say, Well done. Well done. You are someone in whom God is well pleased. Now our Father says this in the scriptures. He said he would rather have obedience before sacrifice. And because of the way we have taught the scriptures in the past, many people seem to feel that God would rather have us give and sacrifice before we are obedient. Excuse me. And our Father tells us beyond a shadow of a doubt, be obedient. I make no apology for what I'm going to say today, for I believe not because I'm a Baptist, not because I'm any-ist, but because I am a Christian who believes the Bible to be true. I believe the Bible teaches us that we should be baptized, and I also believe that the Bible in its teaching on baptism says baptism is in the Greek baptisto or baptizo, which means to be immersed. So we follow the Lord Jesus by being immersed. What does this immersion mean? Literally, it is figurative. And the figure of speech is this, that as we go down into the waters of baptism, we say this, that before I was born again, I was dead. Before I received Jesus Christ, I was on my own. Before I came to Christ and recognized him as my personal Savior, I was lost, without hope, without comfort, and without the presence of Christ. But now I am in the presence of Christ. I have hope. I go from my deadness of sins, and with Jesus I am buried. And so there is a sense of going into the waters of baptism in which I am buried with Christ. And as the person who is being baptized goes down under the water, They witness to the whole congregation from this day on. I tell you, what has taken place in my heart is now expressed to all of you. I am buried with Christ. Old things are passed away. All things now become new. All of my past has been dealt with and is buried in the depths of the sea. It is beyond reclamation. I am a new creature in Christ, and I trust Him. Now, there was a very humorous story told amongst Baptist ministers of the person that was baptized and taken under the water. And to his surprise, he woke up in heaven. And the angel said, "What are you doing here? We don't have you on our immediate reception list." And the man said, "How long was that preacher supposed to hold me down?" I think that's very funny, told in its original way. I can't tell it. Because the way I heard it, it was very ethnic. But I share with you, there's a truth in that. You see, because as in the picture of my baptism, I am buried with Christ, so I become dead to the things of this world. And I become trusting Jesus for the rest of my life. And I am saying in a picture, in a pageant form, I am saying, look, the rest of my life is before me and I am without hope in this water. I am without any means to bring myself from the dead. And so the preacher lifts the person from that water and they are as Jesus has lifted us from the dead. Our Lord Jesus Christ lifts us up. And so you see the candidate that is baptized lifted up and their feet are placed solidly so they won't slip, so they won't fall or falter, and they are held so that they are safe. And Jesus holds us so that we may never think we're alone again. No, never alone. No, never alone. Isn't that beautiful? That's what baptism means. You see, from death I am resurrected into newness of life. Paul says, all the things of my past, why I count them as nothing. In fact, if you want a real description, says Paul, I just look at those things like the compost heap at the end of the garden. I count it as garbage for the excellency of the knowledge, because I have been resurrected. For the excellency of knowing I am alive in Christ. Are you? Can you say, I have turned from the world? I have turned from my past? Some of you hang on to it. Or you even say you love Jesus, but you hang on. You keep remembering what you were, and it depresses you. You keep remembering what you were and you become ineffective Christians. You keep remembering what you were and you're not able to be free. Oh, free. Listen to Mr. Wesley. My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. Beautiful. Because it's the expression of what has taken place in my heart. In my soul. It is the expression of what has actually happened. I am now resurrected. I am now alive in Christ. I am now a new creature in Jesus. And everything else is counted but loss. Have you counted everything else lost? Just so much dross, so much compost heap, so much garbage. But you may say, preacher, listen, before I received Christ, I did this, and I did something else, and I was a most wicked person. On Thursday morning of this week, I received a phone call that a very dear friend of mine had been called to go home with the Lord. He was 50. He had suffered greatly these last few years and he is now in the presence of Jesus. One of the things about this man that recommends him is that he always smiled, he always had a beautiful testimony, but piece by piece his body sort of disintegrated. Just a few years back, not many, he had to have new hip joints put in. He had been in two most serious car accidents when he was younger, when his children were just little things. And he'd had both hip joints replaced. He'd had multiple pieces of surgery. He was an artist, but he was losing the ability to work with his hands. He always was telling people about the Lord Jesus. And then he came where he had to have a leg removed. And he was telling everybody about the Lord Jesus. I went to visit him on one of my trips to the north, where he was in hospital, and sitting beside his bed was his false leg. And he said to me with a grin on his face, "Want to see the stump?" And I didn't want to see the stump, but I had to see the stump. And he smiled and he laughed and he told me of the Lord Jesus. And as I came out, the nurse said, "You know, we've had to give him maximum painkillers today and we still can't keep him quiet." He must have been a Christian. He'd have been a good preacher. But then a few weeks back, his other leg got so bad, whatever the disease was, I'm not sure, and they removed that. And he was still telling people about the Lord Jesus on the way to surgery, back after surgery. He was telling people about the Lord Jesus. And until Wednesday night, he was telling people about Jesus Christ, yet he was in terrific pain. And now he's with the Lord. But I want to share with you one of the reasons why his joy was so enormous. We were sitting down one day and I said, "Bob, you're not your usual happy self. What's wrong?" He said, "Well, sin." I looked at him and I said, "But you mean you've been involved in something?" "Oh, no, no, not lately," with a smile. He said, "See, preacher, before I became a Christian, I used to poach." And he told me the state he lived in and where he poached. And he said, "If rangers got in the way, well, we left them in the mountains. We just buried them without a ceremony." Now he's going back a few years, I hope. But he said, "Preacher, I have committed crimes, and today it's weighing heavy on my heart, for I have done that thing. I am a murderer." "And preacher, I don't know what to do." Well, I had to say to him, "I can't solve your legal problem, but I'll help you with your spiritual one. And here it is. Christ forgave his murderers at the cross. And your sins, though they were as bad as that, are forgiven." And as we talked and as we prayed, a smile lit in his soul. And as that smile lit in his soul, so his heart became jubilant. And as his heart became jubilant, so his mind became reflective on the grace of God and the enormity of the love of God. And as his mind gained that, his facial expression changed. He became a man who could say, "I count all things but garbage for the excellency of the resurrection that has taken place in my heart. I am alive in Christ." So when we baptize a person, we say, "Person, you were lost and you stood alone without comfort, without hope. But now, as you bury yourself in Christ, you are raised a wondrous new resurrection in newness of life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Isn't that the gospel? And isn't that so precious? You see, Jesus said, I want to leave an example in front of all of you so that everybody will know who you are. I want you to be able to say, Jesus was saying to the Jewish people, the synagogue is of no account. The teachings and traditions of my fathers are of no account. All the things I've learned are of no account when it comes to salvation. And Jesus said, I want to leave with you an exhibition, a pageant that you can say to everybody, watch me. I was alive and alone. I am alive and never alone. For I have died and been buried with Christ. And because Christ was resurrected, I am resurrected. I stand now in newness of life. And Jesus wanted us to see the picture. Now, there's nothing very glorious in getting wet. There is nothing very fashionable in getting wet in front of a lot of people. But if you go throughout the continent of Europe, you discover people being baptized in rivers. You discover people being baptized in public places. And they are saying to everyone, look, I follow Jesus Christ the Lord. He was baptized, I follow him. I am baptized. And this is a testimony to the community. This is a testimony to those round about me. This is a testimony that everyone will see. I have cut off my past. I am finished. It's done. Now the great transaction is this. Jesus loves me. Jesus keeps me. Jesus will never leave me. And I face tomorrow, all of my tomorrows, with Jesus Christ the Lord. Do you stand there? Do you understand that as salvation? My dear people, it doesn't matter what denominational background, can you cut it off? Can you pretend for a moment there is no name this church? And can you just for one moment see the scripture? Can you just understand for these moments as you see the scripture that being baptized doesn't save you, but being baptized reveals to your neighbors and friends, I have a stand in Christ and I stand in that stand with Christ. You see, some will teach you that if you're baptized, then you're saved. Not so. Tragically, not so. It isn't a rite or a ritual that we go through in order to join a club. It is an ordinance. It is something that we observe, and we observe it very carefully. And we observe it so that we may say, I follow Jesus Christ the Lord. I do no more than he did, but I do no less. I don't do something that is fashionable. I do something that is righteous. I don't do something that is glorious. I do something that is humbling and humiliating in a sense. But Jesus said, the person that will humble himself, God will lift him up. The Bible teaches us that if a man will bring himself before God and count himself as very low, God will establish his feet and set his feet upon a solid rock and he will stand. So I must ask you, as Jesus said, don't hinder me, John. Now, John was a great preacher. John was a most righteous man. John was someone that everybody looked to. Who do you look to? Who, looking at those people, do you find they would say to you, do you really need to get baptized? Do you think you really should do that? Those Baptists, those people that do the baptizing. My dear friend, Jesus said to John, John, don't hinder me. I must fulfill what God calls righteousness. I must do what God says is righteous. So let me be humble, even in the waters of Jordan. Surely the rivers of Abana and Pharpar, surely the crystal streams of the mountains of the beautiful states of this great country are better than a pool in a church. However, don't stop me. What hinders you? whether you're a young person, maybe. What's stopping you? Maybe you're an older person. What's hindering, stopping you? Is it truly that you don't love Jesus Christ? Or you say, but preacher, I truly do. Or is it because the weight of your sin, you don't really understand that Jesus has lifted you from sin and has given you this life, and it's a gift? It's a wonderful gift, and He gave it to you in its entirety, and it's yours. You don't understand. You've got it. Aren't you sure you're saved? Is there some problem? My dear friend, today, believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and believe His exhibition of righteousness is one that we should copy, and copy it. Believing on Him as your personal Savior, trust Him with the rest of your life. Jesus said, John, don't hinder me. Let me do what the Father God requires. Don't stop me, John. What's stopping you right now? Can you say to whatever it is, move aside. I follow Christ Jesus, the Lord. Let's pray. Our most gracious Father, we thank Thee for the preciousness of the Word, for the joy of salvation, the great joy of being witnesses for Christ, for being allowed to count ourselves joint heirs with Christ to the inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled. We thank Thee today that by trusting Jesus, we can come into Thy presence, and we ask of Thee that people in this congregation now will push aside those things that hinder and say, Lord, Lord, You've knocked often at this door, but now, O Lord, I come. O Lamb of God, here I am. I come. We ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen.